We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful encouragement, for your wisdom, for your love towards us, but also for your chastening and for your judgment. And we have this hope of glory. We praise you for this wonderful light and for this song that we just sung. I believe we all treasure this song, especially in the context of this section. Then we treasure it and sing it with joy. And I must testify to you, I love Zion more now than I ever have before. Or not? We treasure this wonderful city. For us today, it's not only a city, but a heavenly city. It's so wonderful. And only if we express this heavenly city and display this heavenly city, it has the glory of God. In our condition today, you can't see any glory. And that's why the Lord still has to work so much on us. We can't think that we don't need it anymore. But you see, in your experience and in the conference, even though we're speaking about judgment, we still see the joy. We're still singing with joy. Isn't that a wonder? That amazing? Only the Lord can do this. We have to praise our wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. Now we have to go on. And now, chapters 36 to 39 are actually just an insertion, a parenthesis. Of course, this insertion is not without meaning. Each word from the Lord is meaningful to us, an important meaning. And this insertion is a historical account, a record of King Hezekiah. And here we can see the Lord wants to tell us something from King Hezekiah. Of course, because it's an insertion, we don't want to talk about it too much, and that's why I have not put out too many details in the outline. And I don't have any subpoints under section 3. Because actually it's not necessary. But still, we come to chapter 36. And here, this historical record you can read in Chronicles. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. That is a powerful army, a mighty army. And here we can see that Satan always wants to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. We have to see this awareness. So we always have to come to the Lord. Only the Lord can protect us. Just as we are out of ourselves, we cannot defend this city. Even Hezekiah was a good king. Truly. He was different from Ahaz, his father. Of course. Very, very different than his son Manasseh. Between Ahaz and Manasseh, his son, he was squeezed in between. So we can see there was an evil son, had a good son, and the good son gave birth to a bad, evil son. You can't just carry over goodness or transfer over goodness. But whether Hezekiah was good or not, whether he was a good king or not, the enemy, it was too strong. The Assyrian army, from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was a great army. But we cannot forget, with the prophets, many times, God revealed himself as God, Lord of hosts, to the prophets. If Sennacherib's army was so great, God's hosts and armies are 1,000 more times an uncountable greater, innumerably. And many times we forget that our God is so mighty. Who can fight against him? Tell me. Our God is a wonderful God, and we cannot forget this name anymore. He is the Lord of hosts. Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. And as good as Hezekiah was, he was a normal, good king. He was not capable to fight or to encounter this great army of Assyria. It was impossible. Lord Jesus. And here we can see that in the beginning, they tried to talk to Sennacherib, and that is not good. It's worthless. It's useless. Then Eliakim, he was a good steward, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe. We don't know if it was the same Shebna or whether Shebna lost his position. This is in verse 3. And Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, they came out to him. It doesn't matter who we send to deal, to make a deal. You don't have to make any kind of deal. I want to tell you, to deal with Satan, to make a deal with Satan, negotiate with him, you cannot. It's impossible. Then the Rabshakeh told him, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power of war, but they are mere words." So no matter how much you negotiate with these people, with the king of Assyria, it's just empty words. It's useless. They won't listen. You think, yeah, they might be reasonable. We can at least speak to one another, with one another. But in the meantime, I learned, don't speak so much. Just in the conference, but not anywhere else. In the other times, during the other times, I don't have much to say. We just speak the word of the Lord. That is important. Our lips should just speak forth the word of the Lord. No nonsense. No idle words. No human negotiation or explanation of this and that. And then, come, let's speak with one another. It's worthless. The more you speak, the more problems you cause. That's why we learn here, it says, but they are mere words. Look, you are trusting in the... Now in whom do you trust and you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt. Assyria even knows. It will go on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now, it doesn't matter what kind of reason you give, Egypt or Yahweh or any kind of reason, whatever you trust in, for the enemy, it doesn't matter. It's just empty words. It doesn't touch him. That's why we have to learn here. No. In all things, everything that the enemy tries to do and tries to enter into Zion and destroy it, our help, our negotiations and all our teachings and all our speaking is just idle words for the enemy. Nonsense for him. It's useless. So, we have to trust in the Lord of hosts. And he is the Lord of hosts because his hosts, his army were so great. I already said that in the beginning. His hosts are not just the angelic beings, but his whole creation. God can use the whole creation. All the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, he can use all those things to destroy everything, including the earth. He uses the earth. There are earthquakes. And more you see earthquakes because they're practicing. They know. They know their boss will soon give them the command, shake the whole earth. So we see his whole creation is his army, is part of the hosts, his hosts. Praise the Lord. Now therefore, I urge you, verse 8, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses. 2,000 horses. If you are able on your part to put riders on them. That's a mock, scoffing at them. 2,000 horses. It's just 2,000. That means they were laughing at those people. Even you wouldn't even be able to find riders for 2,000 people, horses. That's how the enemy sees us. For him, we are like grasshoppers. They were the giants. Just as the time of Caleb and Joshua. How will you approach them, attack them? We underestimate the enemy. That means we don't just underestimate, we don't know who our enemy is. Didn't Paul say we're not fighting with flesh and blood, that we can see with our eyes, but the invisible things we don't see? Etc., etc. We don't need to speak about it too much. Verse 11. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. You know, It doesn't matter. When you just speak with them, you will lose. So learn, in this case, not to speak much to the enemy or speak to him at all. It's good. It's good that you didn't speak too much. Lord Jesus. But the Rabshakeh said in verse 13, he stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria," etc. You can read it yourself. Let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Verse 16, do not listen to Hezekiah. Verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you. Saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Continue to read on. Has any one of the gods of the nations, this was our experience, has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Wouldn't Jerusalem, will the Lord deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? If you give reasons, they will have even more reasons back. But they were silent. 21. But they held their peace. And they realized at that point it's better to be quiet. But they held their peace and answered him not a word. They also learned not to say much. Don't just try to give any answer. No, that doesn't work. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and all these people, they came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. It was hopeless. Hopeless. Actually, they didn't have to tear their clothes. But when we speak too much, then we're anxious and we don't see any hope anymore. Nothing else can be done. Then you just tear your clothes. You're fully hopeless and frustrated. We should not do this. And so it was, 37:1, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes. So if you come with such a report, even Hezekiah tore his clothes. Oh, we influence one another so often, and in the end we're all wailing. And those who weren't wailing will start wailing. That's not good. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Then they went to the prophet Isaiah. That is the possible, the proper thing to do. They should have done that at the beginning. Then they wouldn't have had all those problems and tearing of the clothes, this whole situation. They could have saved themselves the trouble. This is how it is. We make so many problems for ourselves. This is a good story for us to learn. It is good to learn. to learn the lesson. So the servants of this is a day of need, a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. You know, if the trouble doesn't come, we wouldn't turn to the Lord. If you're doing well, you forget the Lord. Then the Lord is not so necessary for you. But if you're in a situation where you're frustrated and everything and all the negotiation, speaking back and forth didn't work, then, just then, at the very end, because there was no other way, then you'll go to Him. Many times it's that way. Otherwise you'll go to Him for counsel, you'll go to this guy, you'll come to me for counsel that's not good, and you'll ask a question, what should I do? And I'll give you advice which is not good. It's all hopeless. And then you'll begin to wail. Cry. Yeah, you'll really cry because you're frustrated. Then you come to Him. Isn't it better to go to Him first? Then we can avoid many problems. Save ourselves the trouble. It may be, verse 4, that the Lord your God... Then, in this verse he just said, I thought that the Lord was also Hezekiah's God. He says here, it may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God. And you have to see this, what the enemy is doing in us. It's not just against us, but in a hidden way, in the background, he is reproaching the living God. This is why, at the time of Job, God challenged Satan. And Satan gave so many reasons why Job was that way to reproach God. Of course he's going to love you and be so faithful because you gave him everything. That is a reproach to God. That means, God, you have bribed him. Then the one who bribes, you gave him so much so that he would be faithful to you. Lord Jesus. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Of course, in the whole history, God heard this plea from Hezekiah. Actually, Hezekiah should have known God himself.
Amen.
And you can read the whole story for yourself. The Lord fully destroyed the army of Sennacherib. It was so simple for God. So simple to destroy his whole army. And he saved Zion for Zion's sake. If you fight yourself, you will lose. You can't do it.
Amen.
Now let's continue on. You can read this yourself. Let's go to chapter 38. This is also a story. And the first experience was good, that the Lord fought for his people. But unfortunately, oftentimes we don't go to him first.
36
Let's read verse 36 from chapter 37. 37:36. Then the angel of the Lord went out. How many angels went out? Just one. But isn't he the Lord of hosts? Shouldn't he send an army? You know, it's no glory for God if he sends 10,000. One was enough. If he sends 100,000 angels, it's not a glory for him. He just needed one angel. And the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 overnight. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So who should fight? You or God? Can you do that and slay 185,000 overnight? We can't do that. But for God, it's just a snap of a finger. So simple. Just one angel is enough. Probably God didn't even send his strongest angel to show forth his glory even more. He probably chose the weakest angel. Why don't you go? And he'll be happy that he can practice. One angel. He didn't even name this angel, or he didn't mention his name. 37. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And here's the result, as Isaiah prophesied in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, his idol, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sherezah, his sons, struck him down with a sword. It was over for him. God just uses one angel, and the whole army was destroyed. And he used his own sons when he came home to kill him, to murder him. Isn't that a good solution? Who can find a better solution? Do we know this wonderful God who fights for us? Who is fighting? Who can solve this great problem? If God deals with such a great problem in such a simple and wise way, don't you think he can also solve your small problem and find a solution for it? Today, I want to learn not to fight and find a way out of myself. We have to learn from Hezekiah. Then comes the healing. In those days, 38:1, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." That was God's speaking. But Hezekiah did not want to receive it. So he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And God is a merciful God, praise the Lord. He healed him. It is wonderful.
Gott kann alles machen.
God can do everything.
Natürlich, das ist eine äußere Krankheit.
Of course, this is an outward sickness, but with the inner sicknesses, we don't cry out to the Lord that He heals them. But with the outward sicknesses, if I had a sickness on my physical body, then I will just cry, "Oh Lord, heal me, I still want to be alive." But if I have an inner sickness, I won't be wailing that much. I wouldn't care if He healed me now or later. And then I'll even give an excuse. I'm just how I am. This is how I am. I am really just so. And that is a good excuse. But if I have a sickness that manifests itself outwardly, then I'm so desperate for the Lord to heal me. I'm not against healing, okay? I'm happy if we all remain healthy, and I encourage it. I encourage all the saints to remain healthy, especially in this time before the Lord comes back.
Yeah. Amen.
Where am I? And verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." That is wonderful. You see? Who is fighting? Who is protecting Zion? If one day we think that it is our responsibility to defend and protect Zion, then God will bring another king from Assyria to send another king to you. And the Lord even gave him a sign, a wonderful sign. And this is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, verse 8. You know, why does God still have to give Hezekiah a sign? What do you think? Why? When do you need a sign from God? When you don't believe it, of course. Many times we pray and plead with the Lord, "Lord, make me healthy," but you still won't believe it. Then God has to give you a special sign so that your faith will be strengthened. Do we believe such a sign today? Some people say, "Now you need to look at a sign in heaven, to look at the sign in the stars." But this sign is a real sign. And you, many years ago, I did some research, and the astronomers can testify. Of course, they won't say it in a scientific report, but it did happen. "Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward." Who can do that? Can you command the sun? Just go back a little bit further. 10 degrees backwards. Can you do that? Nobody can do that. Can you imagine that? You can really understand. Many years ago, I wanted to know exactly what God wanted to do, so I did confirm after my research that this happened. Yes. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. It returned 10 degrees. So as it is written here, it truly happened. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. 15 years. But do you know what Hezekiah did in these 15 years? He became proud. He built up his kingdom even more, built up the cities, and heaped up his treasures and riches, and he became so rich that in the end he was so proud. Tell me. It would have been better had he... It would have been better to die earlier. We see things differently. We force God to lengthen our days, but it's not for the better. And in the end, it's not good. You know? When the Lord lengthens the number of days, then you need to redeem the time to lay hold of the Lord even more. It's nice and good. If Hezekiah had used these 15 years to lay hold of this wonderful God and experience Him even more, to use Him more for His glory instead of for Himself. But I want to tell you, the Lord has already given you much time until now, and how have you used that time? Today, if you have not learned how to redeem the time to prepare yourself for His coming, if the Lord tells you, okay, I'll lengthen the time, I'm not going to come back, as Peter said, that he will delay His coming. But if you don't use this time for your salvation, but just for more enjoyment, and then in the end you'll love the world more than before, then you are drawn that in that direction and this direction. In the end, you will just be for yourself. Then even if the Lord gives you 100 more years, additional years, what would it be of use to you? That's why there's this insertion, to encourage us. Hezekiah was good in the beginning, but not so good in the end. It depends. Yes, I agree with you. It would have been better for him had he died earlier. After he had seen such a glorious Lord and everything the Lord did, and Zion, so clear, so wonderful. Sometimes it's better to be martyred. Because if the Lord gives us more time, we might decline. There's the danger that we will fall instead of going forward. And we also have to learn this from Hezekiah. And learn that if the Lord is giving us the opportunity and time today, and we don't know how long it is to till His return, how will you use this time? Will you pursue your career? Gather riches and have a great bank account? A wonderful life? Vacation? This and that? Know the world? And go climbing? Play soccer? Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can still do. But that is not good. So, again, God sent someone. Who did he send? An ambassador. A messenger from the king of Babel. He came under the pretense, Hezekiah, I heard that the Lord healed you and gave you a wonderful sign. My goodness, I'm coming to congratulate you and look at how wonderful God had done these things with you. But actually, he was a spy to see how many riches you have so that he could come and steal it. You know, in the end, we became so blind, we don't even see what the enemy is intending to do. And Hezekiah had become so proud. And he said, wow, God healed me and gave me so much riches, so many riches. So he showed this messenger and this ambassador just a little bit. No, he showed him everything. You know, brothers and sisters, learn. Don't show anybody everything. What would be the point of that? If someone is proud, then he will show everything and display everything. Look how rich I am. Look how much the Lord has blessed us. Look what we have. This and that. Then afterwards, Isaiah came and said, who visited you? Oh, yeah. The ambassador from Babylon. And what did he see? That was the second question. What did you show him? Everything. He saw everything. And immediately the judgment came. The king of Babylon will come and take everything, and he will lead it away. Take it away to Babylon. And even your sons will be led away to Babylon and will make you to eunuchs and will serve as slaves in Babylon. Then what does Hezekiah say as an answer? The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. Oh, Lord Jesus, can you imagine that it's good? If I were him, I would have wailed before the wall and said, oh God, I repent, please help us. But he didn't do that. He said, in verse 8, 39:8, it says, so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. I don't see anything good in it. I don't know what Hezekiah saw. This insertion is necessary for us to learn a lesson. This is a warning to us all. You know, the Lord will heal us and make us healthy, but what are you going to do if the Lord heals you? What are you going to do if the church is restored? And yes, now it is wonderful. The Lord has called us out and he wants to take us onward. What are you doing in this wonderful, gracious opportunity that the Lord has granted you? Do you want to waste it again? Do you not treasure it? Do we not want to take this opportunity and the grace and the mercy that the Lord has given us, not to just treasure it, but to gain more from the Lord, just as the faithful servants who made 5 talents to 10 talents? Go on. instead of wasting it. And laying back, praise the Lord, He saved us out of Babylon. Now I can take a nap, rest. Now I can relax and just praise and Him and thank Him, hallelujah, and go on in a comfortable way. Then you are Hezekiah. Then you are Hezekiah. This is what the insertion is all about. It's a danger to us all. Now that He has called us out and separated us as a small remnant, it's not so that you can just have your peace and just do something for yourselves and do this and that, but much more. You should be more diligent, not the flesh, but be diligent. Be diligent to go on until you are raptured to the heavenly Zion. This is the goal of the whole thing. But if we come out of Babylon and don't go on, then we might as well just stay there in Babylon. People who came out of Babylon to Jerusalem, soon after they fell again, they did not use this wonderful grace of the Lord to continue on towards the goal. And how often is this our case? The Lord helped us out of this difficulty. He healed you. And He solved your problems. But after your problems were solved, do you go on or not? Or do you fall back into another problem? The Lord helped us in this case, not so that we could fall into another trap, into another fall. The insertion is necessary. The insertion, a parenthesis, is necessary. And for this reason, praise the Lord. The Lord is warning us, and He wants to help us and encourage us, exhort us through Hezekiah. Praise the Lord. So, the gong has not gonged yet. Then we continue to read. The word of the Lord is good, is what Hezekiah. Then he said another point at the end of verse 8. His reasoning that it was good. At least there will be peace and truth in my days. In the end, he was just concerned about himself. That means in the end, he was just concerned. Everything was just about himself. That is not good. He didn't even care about his sons who would be led away to Babylon and be enslaved as eunuchs. If that happened to you, would you say, oh, that's good, it didn't happen to me, just by my to my sons? You know, in the end, it doesn't matter if you leave as long as I'm doing fine here. That was Hezekiah's attitude. You know, dear saints, we have to learn to see much from the word of the Lord, and we have to let this word operate in our hearts and work in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for such an insertion. Every word of God is God-breathed and profitable. Profitable. Very profitable. Praise the Lord. We'll stop here.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. Praise the Lord.